She's been remembered as a seer and a truth teller. The acclaimed American writer Toni Morrison died a few days ago in New York, aged 88. Her novels include Beloved, Song of Solomon, Tar Baby, The Bluest Eye. And for that awesome body of work, she won the 1993 Nobel Prize for Literature. She described feeling like a patriotic kid when Barack Obama was inaugurated as President of the United States in 2009. 3 years later, she received the Presidential Award for Freedom from President Obama. But 7 years later, she wrote an essay for the New York Times called Mourning for Whiteness, about the triumph of white privilege. The former president has paid tribute to Toni Morrison on Twitter, posting a photo of him giving what looks like a back rub to Dr. Morrison in the White House. And he says that she was a national treasure and her writing was a beautiful, meaningful challenge to our conscience and our moral imagination. Before the Nobel Prize, Toni Morrison taught American literature and creative writing at Princeton University. And that's where Margaret Munro Clark interviewed her for Books and Writing here on RN in 1992. Toni Morrison talks about deterritorializing or decolonizing the English language, about writing erotically but sparely, and the challenge of representing the power of black speech on the page.
I mean, how many ways can you describe a moon? But there is a way, if you go into these spaces in the language and leave a lot out, that the reader provides the elaboration, the specificity, the visceral as well as intellectual momentum that you want. So that in a sense it's a stripping down in the sense of leaving things out, but at the same time what's in there is never a reach for the exceptional word, the odd word, the pun, the, you know, that kind of thing. I think there's this other thing. It is a penetration and an intervention into all of what is there. Very understated, although people say that I write in whatever the opposite of understated, but it's not true. It's just that they bring into those open spaces that I provide all of the angst, all of the desire, all of the earnestness, and all of the pictures themselves. It's like when you describe sex. If you describe all of it, every gesture, I'm out of it. It's not mine. I may be interested and I may be impressed. If it gets too clinical, I'm not there. If you don't mention it at all, if you erase it for whatever reasons, then I have to erase it as well, or it becomes dismissed in my mind. But if you handle it in a certain way, the scene where Ajax and Sewell are making love, and she's thinking about all sorts of sensual things that have nothing to do with sex, mud and gold and alabaster, and just the broad stroke of her being vertical and his being prone. What happens is that I know the reader's sex is sexier than mine because it's his or hers. So you bring your own sexuality into that scene, and then it becomes what it ought to be, rather than saying so much that you should close the door and so little that it almost disappears. If you negotiate and manipulate and play in that sense with what I know the reader knows, because I'm one of them, then I think the intimacy between the reader and the text is much, much greater, because the reader wants to stay ahead of it and wants to possess the book, possess the world that it exists, and participate in it. And that is what I want language to do for me in my work. It's what I think is available to us in some of the music, is that it's you're alone in there with all these people. It's really yours. And there's no competition for that space that you occupy. It's inviting. And I like it when it's seductive that way and not contemptuous of the reader by feeling you have to provide everything, satisfy every possible thing And I don't like to be patronized that way myself. So I don't like to patronize readers.
The late, great American writer and Nobel laureate Toni Morrison speaking to Margaret Munro Clark in 1992.